This live broadcast of the Petersburg School Board meeting is brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, offering asset protection and security through insurance. Home, auto, boat, life. Information from a real live person who's in the same phone book as you. Petersburg Wrangell Insurance at 772-3858.
Meeting to order. Look, I already have a question, Irene. Do we need to determine a quorum? While we just pause for a second. Do I do that or does Irene? I do it. Okay. I can determine that there are four of us here. Sarah has been excused.
No, she has to call
Rose. Oh, she does have to. Oh, well, that's what I wanted to.
Sarah, you just didn't determine that.
Okay. Oh, call to order. Okay, yes, please call the roll.
Sarah Holmgren.
Excuse.
Jay Lister.
Yes.
Megan Lister.
Yes.
Cheryl File.
Yes.
Mara Litomsky.
Yes. Okay, and Sarah's excused. Now we are officially on track here. Would you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, I will make a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll second it.
Yes, we're going to do that first.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we finish with this motion since it's been seconded? Okay.
Who seconded it? I didn't
hear it.
Okay.
Jay. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Motion carries 4-0. Now, Miss Cindy Fry, we would love to hear from you. And Shade.
And Shade.
You.
So Shade and I are here to talk about the high school transition program. And so I just have a little slideshow here because I'm not sure how many of you are aware of what that even is or what that means. I have to fix my dongle just a moment.
Dongles, just hard to place sometimes.
I know, right?
If only they had the same shape in both sides, it'd be very simple.
It would. We should make that suggestion to the dongle representatives.
And the guys that build the laptops.
Yes. So Shade is here. He is one of our students who is part of the transition program. So we have the transition program here in Petersburg. And the question might be, so what is that? What does that mean? It is part of the high school special education program. And what it means is that we are continuing to provide some activities for our students, particularly those who are 18 up to the age of 22, that focuses on post-secondary education, vocational training, integrated employment and support employment, and some adult services, independent living, and community participation. So we have...
It's also nicknamed the bonus round.
Oh, the bonus round. So, like I said, Shade is one of our current students in the program. We right now have three students who are participating. All are involved in learning skills at the high school, primarily on the world of work of math. So that's real-world application to math. What does it mean in the work site? You know, we go over paychecks. We talk about what does it mean, how you're paid either weekly, bi-monthly, you know, on a salary base, all that kind of thing, how to look at taxes, all that kind of fun stuff that we do as adults. And then we're also looking at the world of work for English. And part of that is working on resumes and job applications and letters to communicate with other transition programs around the country. And we sent out, both Shade and Josh drafted a letter about what they've been doing at the work site. They sent it out, and I think we've heard back from four or five programs did you guys get letters back from?
I don't think we read any.
Yeah, we have. I think we've heard back from four or five schools, and we sent out 50 letters, one to each state. And then also in culinary and art, which is some of the areas of interest for the current students. So here is Shade and Josh at the Fire Hall, which is one of our community partners. And we'll look over comments from Sandy Dixon later on that. So, Shade, do you want to describe some of the jobs that you do there at the Fire Hall?
Well, at the Fire Hall, I mainly... I mainly clean up the... I sweep the floors. Josh handles the vacuuming while I do all the sweeping. I sweep the main room where all of the fire trucks are kept, including the second floor, where the entertainment area is.
Yep.
And then on occasion the fire department moves the trucks out so I can get underneath them. The only drawback is sometimes there's oil.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from that, it's easy and simple.
Okay. So our current community partners that we're actively working with, once again, is the Petersburg Fire Department, and that's up at the Fire Hall, and we provide custodial services there. We've been at the library we're in our third year working with them, and we're in our second year working with the Fire Hall, and that's once again with custodial-type services. We work with the Reach office, and last year did all of their window art. So if you drove by and saw the beautiful art on the window, that was done by some of our students, and I think they were working on that last week also. And there's some custodial-type services going on there. And then in the school itself, they handle the mail and also some laundry services. So we're constantly looking to expand that to other businesses and organizations in the community. We're trying to add on to it this year by having them visit different job sites. So they went to the water treatment facility, which I believe both of their consensus was they did not want to be employed there. But
it stinked, and I scared, and me being a germaphobe.
It was a little bit of a push, boundary-wise. However, the post office also was a fantastic tour for them, and I think that you guys enjoyed that tour quite a bit.
If I ever worked at the post office, I guess my strong suit would be the heavy lifting.
Mm-hmm.
However, all that mail to go over and sort of would be a bit overwhelming. I get easily overwhelmed when I see too much words.
So we're working on boundaries and interests, and also to kind of push those and say, you know, at a job, sometimes we have to do things we don't like. And so that's all part of that lifelong learning skill. The other piece is working as a team. And so they do collaborate. It's part of our communication we're working at. And then just some comments that we got back from Tara Alcock at the library, and then also Sandy Dixon. This was a quote when I asked, hey, how are they doing? I do my little check-ins. Both do a great job for us. They perform janitorial duties twice a week, and it's been a great benefit to keeping the library public areas tidy on days we don't have that janitorial service. It's worth noting that Marita is essential to their success. That's our aide that we have working with them. We really appreciate her efforts. Honestly, it's hard to imagine how we'd get by without them.
Yeah,
Did you notice the difference?
Yeah, when we came back from the vacation, I walk in, I'm like, what have you guys been doing in here?
They had parties and didn't invite you.
Yeah, the place was a mess. I'm like, what would this place do without us?
I know. We're not perfect. So, and then from Sandy Dixon at the fire department, Josh and Shade have been very helpful to the fire department. They have been polite and friendly to visitors at the station. Josh does a great job vacuuming the entire carpeted area of the fire station. He works well and always completes the task at hand. This is Josh's second year at the fire station, and I believe that he has opened up during his time spent here. Shade does various jobs for us. He sweeps the apparatus bay and the mezzanine. He has picked up trash outside, weather permitting, and even washes the interior windows. The transition program benefits the fire department and the students. We appreciate the work they do for us, keeping the fire station clean, and they learn and refine their skills. Thanks also goes to the aides that come with the transition students, which are also an important part of this program. And once again, that's by Sandy Dixon. So, Next steps for us, we are looking to connect with the Department of Vocational Rehabilitation. There were some changes and that have provided funding for that, really focusing on transition. So we're looking at improving and partnering with them more, having them come possibly to the high school to work with some of our juniors and seniors on getting them ready to move on, even those that are not quite as intensive as maybe some that we have kept in the program. And that's where that life skills training after school will be there. And then also we're trying to connect with some of our other post-secondary schools and programs outside the area for our graduating seniors to help make their transition to be very smooth as they enter into that learning environment and also as adults. So that's kind of where we're going. Any questions for Shade or myself?
Thank you very much. This is a program near and dear to my heart, and I love to hear from you, Shade, and Miss Fry, about all the awesome things that you're doing. It's neat to see you guys around town working on stuff.
Yeah, I'm still trying to get a job at Hammers, though.
We're working on that. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and on to the student representative report.
Okay, so I'm trying to write stuff up, but I'm really busy with Rotary stuff right now, so I apologize for that. I am leaving on Thursday to go find out where I will be living next year, so a lot of people ask, so I'll know next week, just in case you're curious still. As for the school, we have finals week coming up next week, and as well as a lot of traveling for basketball, and that is one concern I've heard from the students, that the trying to get finals done while traveling is really stressful for them, not only like the stress of finals, it's the stress of traveling and competing, so that's one thing that they expressed stress in. And as for homecoming, that was really successful. Mr. Cabral will probably talk a lot about that. It was really exciting, and homecoming court was a really successful event. Everyone had a lot of fun watching everyone, and the one problem with that was that there was a lot of miscommunication between student reps and school board on, pep rally and a school dance, which just, it was a miscommunication that made it so it didn't happen. And in the past, last year, we weren't allowed to have a dance because it was too close to the winter formal we had, so it was too close together. And then this year, they thought they could fix that by having it in the winter, so when they didn't have it, they were upset. But I think we compromised pretty well because we're going to have a dance at the end of the month, if I'm correct. So there were some bumpy patches, but I think it all worked out pretty fine. Oh, we also got our SAT and PSAT scores back, so that happened as well, and that is all I have off the top of my head.
Thank you.
Thank you. Correspondence? Do you have any?
I don't have any.
Okay.
I don't think.
I'm sorry.
You don't have any correspondence?
No. All right. Comments from audience unrelated to agenda items.
Hello, I'm Ann Tate. My daughter Sarah is a senior at the high school, and she wanted to be here tonight to request to make a request for a policy change, but she was unable to come due to illness, so you have me. We would like to request a review and change to policy BP5127 regarding graduation ceremony and activities, and it was adopted in 2005. The policy is very short. It basically says high school graduation ceremonies shall be held to recognize those students who have successfully completed the district graduation requirements and earn the right to receive a diploma. Students who have met the district graduation requirements but have not taken a college and career readiness assessment may not participate in graduation exercises without receiving a diploma. Another note, it says, in accordance with school site rules, the principal may deny a student the privilege of participating in graduation or promotion activities because of misconduct. And if I get rid of this, we're requesting flexibility in this policy to allow students who have exhibited an effort and are close to earning the required credits, in addition to those who may not have taken their college and career assessment, to be allowed to participate and walk in the graduation ceremony without receiving a diploma. I point out that the administration is already given the authority to ban students based on poor behavior. We are simply asking they be given the authority to allow students to participate in graduation based on good behavior. Thank you for your consideration. Any questions?
I don't have any questions. Does anyone have a question? We are going to talk about tonight the policy committee. So, and I can't remember if we had talked about scheduling a policy meeting, but it's definitely something that we would take up in the next policy meeting. Would that be accurate? And then we would move through the process from there at that time, and we can let you know when the policy meeting is.
That'd be great.
Okay.
I know Sarah, who wasn't here, had mentioned that to get a change in place by graduation, which is May, is like right around the corner, and so otherwise I think we would have approached it maybe taking it to the policy committee, but we thought we'd get things started tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you. Okay. And comments from audience related to agenda items. All right. Comments from board members. All right. Moving right along to the consent agenda. I will make a motion to approve the consent agenda. Irene, could you please call the roll for us?
We'll need a second.
Did you? Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Second.
Megan Lipster?
Yes.
Jay Lipster?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren? Cheryl File?
Yes.
Mara Lutonsky?
Yes.
All right, motion carries 4-0. The consent agenda has been approved. Administrative reports. Ms. Clute Painter?
Okay. So happy new year, everybody. Welcome back after the holiday and hope everybody had a nice vacation. I'm taking off tomorrow for a CERC meeting in Juneau, which is the Southeast Regional Resource Center. All the superintendents in Southeast are members of that board, and that's the group that helps us provide some support services for maintenance. It helps with our psychologist who comes to town, lots of support services, some tech support, and that sort of thing. So it's an important group for us to have a voice at the table about what kinds of services they offer and how it's going. So that's where I'll be for a few days, and then back on Friday. Back on Friday just in time to attend the community presentation, which I wanted to mention on here. I know it's been on the radio, but Ken Alper from the Department of Revenue and Representative Jonathan Christ-Tompkins will be here at 5 o'clock on Friday at the Sons of Norway to give a presentation to the community about the fiscal situation and what's up and coming, which will certainly have an impact on our lives here in school and just in our community in general. So that's coming up. We have met last week, I believe, about starting to formalize a partnership with the Coast Guard and trying to get, I think it's called Partners, it's actually like our PI group, it's Partners in Education, it's very similar to that. Anyway, so they have an actual formal program and they pair up different members of the Coast Guard, volunteers that have different skills and want to come in and offer their services within the school day in lots of different areas, culinary and the VOTEC program, as tutors potentially, going reading to students, going out on the playground, participating in swim class. There were all kinds of options. So we're looking forward to that partnership. We are working, I mentioned it today on the radio with the interview with Joe, but just another quick little plug about this, but mentioning Sandy Dixon during Cindy's presentation, but working with her on the Code Red system and trying to integrate our parents and our school community and our students even within that system for the in the eventuality of an emergency, being able to communicate with them. We can partner with that program. We already have it in the community. We don't need to purchase a separate program. We just need to add groups to it so we can have district groups, school groups, student groups, you know, and even if it's not an emergency, being able to say, you know, even if there was a late start, you know, due to icy roads or something like that. So it doesn't have to be a huge emergency, but it can be used for communicating.
So can I just ask to just clarify, mm-hmm. even if we've already signed up with Code Red for the city, we should still be signing up or giving some sort of consent to the schools to be added to that group, correct?
Yes. Okay. And we are going to create our own school group. So even if you're in there, and that's apparently how Sandy described it, people's names can be in there as being part of different groups. Okay. So that's going on. So if you get a phone call or an email from one of the office staff, that's what it's about. You know, it's not a hoax. We really are trying to put that into place. Joe mentioned that today, that sometimes people get, you know, spam weird emails, and it is a real thing. Last thing, and I know it's been on the radio too, but just to mention it, and there's lots of things on the news about it, but the Ketchikan lawsuit, and I think everybody, maybe on the board, has received some information about that, but this, the Alaska Supreme Court did vote to say that their case was not valid, that their municipality does need to provide required local contribution, which is similar to what happens in our community. So they did say that they needed to do that. So I don't know that it's over, though, because a couple of the justices actually talked about a way that they might address it in the future. So I don't think it's over, but for now it is. And I don't know that Ketchikan itself is going to keep ponying up the money for continuing the lawsuit, because I think they've already spent close to $500,000 on it, trying to not pay more money. I don't know. It's interesting. So I think that's all I have.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks.
Director of Maintenance, Mr. Tate.
Well, good evening. It was kind of a short month, as it always is in December with the holiday break, but I was very pleased about the amount of work that we did accomplish over that time, despite having part of the staff take off for their own holidays and not actually having a great amount of time to do a lot of work in. but I will tell you that over at the elementary school, all the interior door trim got painted by our two new custodians, Eric Hoff and Terry Falter. The two gentlemen also cleaned the cafeteria from top to bottom, and this is one I'm really proud of for these two guys. They took it upon themselves to clean out all the interior ductwork. And if you can imagine, that is a huge job. I can see you grimacing over there, Mara. And it took quite a bit of time, and they took it upon themselves, and they did as much as they could access. So now we can look forward to a little bit cleaner air quality over there in the elementary school. So hats off to those two gentlemen. Over at the high school, not as much custodial was done over there, but a little bit more maintenance on that in that building. RANS repaired several problematic light fixtures that we've been dealing with in some of the common areas and hallways. We did some hydronic pump maintenance together, and I spent a little time on the exterior door lock mechanisms, so we were a little bit more secure than we have been. And in all the buildings, of course, common areas, hallways, bathrooms, garbage cans, storerooms, and the mechanical rooms got a little extra cleaning that they oftentimes don't get. I'd like to send a thanks out to Julie Dahl, who came in and subbed for a couple of our custodians so they could have their break. And also, again, just like to recognize Eric Hoff and Terry Falter for just having a great work ethic and having that can-do, must-do attitude. I think we're really lucky to have them as additions to our school staff. So I also spent a good deal of time of my own preparing for a five-year facility audit. And as you recall, last month I spoke quite in detail about the capital improvement application process with the Department of Education. Well, we had last week, Wednesday and Thursday, Mr. Wayne Marquis, who is a building management specialist with the DEED, the Department of Education, come down and basically do an audit of all of our legal requirements and commitments and that are mandated per the state legislature. And all in all, I'd like to say that he was pleased with our facilities, and a formal report is forthcoming. The audit basically mirrored a lot of the stuff that I talked about last time, so I'll just briefly touch on these things. He looked at our custodial program. We recognized earlier in the year, and I brought that to the attention of the board, that we needed to build a specific building-specific program that is based on frequencies and level of care, and we have slowly started to move in that direction, and he gave his thumbs up to that's exactly what we need to be doing, and we have a few of those pieces in place, and I need to continue working on that. Again, as you can imagine, he spent a lot of time with the maintenance and preventive maintenance program that we have. He audited the hours that we put into our maintenance maintenance. He looked at our trend data. He looked at the future work that we have planned. It was very thorough. I've pointed out in past maintenance reports the importance that my staff, the maintenance folk and the custodians, that they have a professional development program as well, and we have is what we do what we can. We can't send them off on major trips, so there's a lot of things that we can do in-house, and we try to do something at least once a month with everybody. We looked again at the capital planning process. He reviewed our CIP applications. He was very complimentary of how much we brought ourselves up, as I pointed out last month. And one of the nice things is Mr. Marquis is also one of the raters of those applications, and he gave me quite a few recommendations so we can tweak our next year's applications and hopefully improve even from where we are now. We reviewed those renewal and replacement schedules that I briefly showed you last time. Those are the ones that show you what we need to do 20 years out with our buildings. And he gave me some tips in those areas as well. He audited our fixed asset inventory system, and if Karen was here, I would be looking at her desperately to explain that to you because I can't. It's something that's generated out of her office. And, of course, we looked over our energy management plan, and we looked over 2 years of utility reports, and it was so gratifying to have some great numbers there that you didn't have to be apologetic for. And he saw that we brought our numbers, the usage and dollar signs down, and that's a great thing for a school district. And, of course, there was the obligatory visual inspection of the entire campus, and we crawled into a lot of the nooks and crannies, and he took probably 200 pictures of the place. And he had nothing but complimentary things to say as well in that respect. So I did spend a lot of time with him over 2 days, and he did tell me a few things. And unbeknownst to me 5 years ago when he was here, he alluded to the fact that he was considering putting the Petersburg School District on a kind of a probationary status for not having some of these key elements in place. And he said he was very happy that we had assessed for ourselves what it is we needed to do as a district to make sure our facilities meet all the regulatory requirements that we have. Of course, he conducted an exit interview with myself and Superintendent Clue Painter, and he just expressed his confidence that PSD is operating as it should and it's moving in the right direction. Is there any questions?
Thank you. That's a lot of information. It's so new to us, so thank you.
You're
all right, activities director report, Mr. Cabral. No, I skipped. I cannot ever get this right, I swear. No. I would like the principal's reports, Ms. Toland. Goodness.
Good evening. It's nice to be here again. I was looking at my notes and I thought, well, what's something else I can say? And I think what's an overall theme that we have in our school right now? And what came to mind was ice. It's just been so icy out in the playgrounds, and I'm just glad that it keeps raining and take it away. And but anyway, big thanks to our maintenance department for keeping the sidewalks and areas cleared. And when we came back from our Christmas break, it was our school was so fresh and looked so good and smelled so good, and we just appreciate the good job that all of them do. We are beginning our mid-year testing, and so that will be testing reading and math, seeing how students are progressing, and it's a time for us to look at the need for interventions, and so we'll be doing that during the next 2 weeks. We also have the Winter Ball coming up, sponsored by PI, and we're appreciative of this because it's a fun activity for students to come out. It's on January 29th, and students kindergarten through fifth grade and their younger siblings are welcome to come as long as they have adult supervision, and so we're looking forward to that. We are in the middle of teacher evaluations, and that's been a good learning experience for all of us, and we're looking forward to having that be a tool for teachers for improvement, self-reflection, and I think that will happen. We also are working on our social studies curriculum, trying to finish that up. It's hard for elementary teachers because every year we work on curriculum. And so trying to finish that up and starting our science curriculum as well. So teachers are busy thinking about that. Spelling Bee is coming up. Classroom Spelling Bee is around the 26th. Information has been sent home with sample words that students can use to study. And then we have our school-wide Spelling Bee on the 9th, so that is very exciting for third, fourth, and fifth graders. Then today, I had a conversation with some of the members of the Masonic Lodge, and the Petersburg Masonic Group has been absorbed into the Juneau Masonic Lodge, and they are still wanting to support us in our Bikes for Books program, where it will allow any student that makes their reading goal to put their name into a pot, and then two students for this next trimester, and then the following trimester will be able to win a bike. So it's a fun incentive for them, and we're very appreciative of them for that. And other than that, it's just business as usual. Any questions?
Thank you.
Hello, good evening, school board. Yeah, hi. What's going on? I did want to say thanks. I know Mr. Cabral is going to talk about it. I really enjoyed the homecoming games. I thought it was just a fantastic atmosphere. Someone chuckled that they were talking with the Wrangell folks. I just love our competitive nature with Wrangell, and then just that we have such good community connection. We're all sitting in each other's stands, and despite us all kind of yelling at the refs together, you know, love you, Jeff, for all you do. But just that it's a great spirit, it's a community. But it's just I think we put on a good show, and I forget about it, and we come back to it. And I love the pep band, what Mr. Lenhardt and all those kids do, and the drums. I know we had one of them bounce down the stairs, and that was not part of the show. And I'm glad everybody's okay. But it's a great show, and the cheer is fantastic, and they're doing flips and stuff like that. And then of course our student athletes are great, and coaches and all that stuff. So I'm always impressed. As Marcel alluded to, we wish we'd had a homecoming dance. I know we talked about next year scheduling differently, and we are working we're actually going to kind of talk with it in the office and kind of take charge of this in the high school offices, making sure it has a lot to do with student leadership, but us kind of encouraging them and getting that going sooner. It was a weird time coming right back from Christmas break, and then it was like, boom, here it is, and so much going on with having four teams play, actually five games on Saturday, as well as a great show to have the homecoming king and queen come out and all that. So overall, really great affair. So thanks. I know Mr. Cabral will talk more about it, but I was just really happy with Petersburg as a whole there. I thought we were on show, and I thought we were great. Also talking of great shows, again, we have not met since our music concerts, both the middle school and the high school, right before Christmas, and again, love those, and congratulations just to the parents and those student musicians. I know it's Mr. Lenhardt's leadership that allows that to happen, but it's great. It's really nice. It's nice during the season, and again, the community, so many community members come out. It's great they come out and support our students, but they work hard, and I think they sound good. Enjoyed it. As Ms. Tolan said, the bees are coming up, so the spelling bees happening. We're elementary and middle school do it not at the exact same time. We do it on the same day there early in February, and I believe Mrs. Suze Paulson will be leading it, emceeing it again, which is always fantastic, so that'll be a good show. February 9th, again, that's open to the public as well, and that'll be fun, and there'll be a separate time for elementary and a separate time for middle school during that day, so hopefully you can come on out and watch that. In the middle school, we also have a geography bee, and they just finished their classroom bees, and so I haven't heard the graded results. I may have just done it today, even. Yeah, and so we're looking forward to that on January 21st, and that's just middle school kids. It does the National Geography Bee. That was hard to say. But it's pretty cool, and we'll do the similar to the spelling bee, where the top winners in each class will get up there and battle it out on stage, and that's always a fun event. On January 21st, also open to the public, so that's fun. And again, if I haven't said before, I love these. Basketball was awesome. This is also awesome, and it's a different type of, you know, student leaders out there strutting their knowledge out there and being on stage under the spotlight, which brings its own type of pressure to it, which is fun. It's good for our kids. I love it. And finally, as Marissa also alluded to, we are wrapping up quarter two in both middle school and the high school. For the high school, this is the end of semester one, and that's the big show for the kids in the high school. All their grades up until this point so far this year, you know, have been kind of unofficial warnings, and now it's like this is the real deal, and they're going to take some finals. We'll do Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Up next week, we'll be on special schedules, and kids will have longer blocks, we'll have longer breaks, and the school day is slightly shorter, and there's a lot of time to kind of, I mean, it's an intense time, and it's stressful, and it's supposed to be for good reason to kind of make sure our kids are prepared for college and the workplace, but at the end of it, they've been working hard for many months, and teachers prepared them. It's going to be great, and then they get grades on the final transcript first time this year, so that's all happening. So it's probably not your favorite time here, Marissa, but it is important. Good. Oh, Marissa likes. She's a great student, so that helps. So that is what's going on. Any questions?
I just have a comment. Sure. We had visitors over the holiday break, and she is a music teacher. She started as a middle school music teacher. She went into the high school. She was the department head, and she was the Matt Lenhart of West Valley, and then now she's the elementary school teacher, music teacher for one of the schools there. And she just had, it won't come as a surprise to anyone here, but she had really good comments to say about, we popped into the concerts, and she was like, he's teaching them parts, and she, her daughter's actually got to be in the elementary school sing along, and she was just like really impressed with him. So congrats to Matt Lenhart and his music program. It's impressive to even the bigger city.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. It's been a long wait for Mr. Cabral.
All right. The last time we met was right before Region Wrestling, and not gonna lie, I was nervous about that one. Woo. But went off fantastic. We had six kids placed in the top four, six kids going up to state. Cheryl File did a fantastic hospitality rumor, and Christy Ware, it was amazing, and a lot of help from some of the parents too from other towns who actually cleaned up while there were group housing in the building. So it was pretty impressive to come back to that, and everything was clean. And the kids helped out too, so it was pretty cool. If you did not get up there, it was long days, but went off really well. So to pull that off, thank you to the community for doing that one too. And I think we had a pretty good turnout for some of those matches too. So, and then right after that, we got into a little Norway basketball tournament, then had break, and then right back at it with homecoming. So big thank you to the Department of Transportation. Mike Etcher and Mr. Alex Guthrie and everybody else who helped out. We had to make some phone calls to actually get permission to take the equipment past the slough all the way out to Banana Point to get it. So that was calling the DOT commissioner and all of that stuff. So thank you to them for doing that. It was a slow drive out there, but we got the kids off safely and got them back here safely, got them home safely. So that was nice. So they got some coffee coming to them soon. But our games went well. It was amazing. We had, I think, 55 students from Wrangell that came over. Pep Band did fantastic as well. I think they actually wanted some of our Pep Band to come over there and visit during their homecoming too. So Mr. Lenhart's got some updated music coming too. So he found some new beats and all that too. So it's pretty fun. Coming up, our big travel portion of basketball is happening. We also got middle school wrestling started right now. We got about 26 kids involved in middle school wrestling. And so it's 6, 6 activities, I think, going on right now between boys and girls. So always a busy time and getting used to the two-way schedule, working with Alaska Marine Highway and some of the travels there. And as you know, we do not have the fast ferry anymore coming this spring and the summer, so trying to figure out different ways to get our kids here and there and working with other schools to play different times of the week. We are playing Haynes tomorrow night. Haynes is coming in at 4 o'clock tomorrow morning. On their way down to Wrangell, so they're actually going to be gone from school for 7 days. So, woo, it's a long one for them. But yeah, that's about it going on in our world. Baseball regions coming around the corner in May. Looking at the summer schedule, just came out for Alaska Marine Highway 2, if you didn't notice. So take a peek at those. Yeah. Increased rates on Alaska Marine Highway. Yes, we did get an increase of rates of 5% on certain legs. So we are working around with that piece as well. So, and some of the schools are very accommodating that we can play games on different days, and so we can actually catch the southbound back north, so we don't miss as much school. So that's been really, really helpful for that piece. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Questions? None.
Thank you. Okay. Okay, so the next section is 11.5 School Board Committee Reports, and this is a new part to our agenda that just we decided to put in to facilitate a discussion about any committees that the school board members are on. We're all on some, so that we have a more formal opportunity to share with the other board members as well as the community what we're working on in committees. And so just not all committees meet on a regular basis. Some of them are, you know, periodic, once a year, and some have a more regular schedule. So it's just going to be listed on here. People see it on their agenda. Has each of our names with next to the committees that we are on. And if we have participated in a committee during the previous month, we will have a short brief for folks. And so I will now ask the board if I'm not sure. Has anybody had a committee meeting in the last month?
No.
To report.
I know the Wellness Committee has a meeting next week. I believe it's Wednesday. I'm not sure exactly on the time, but.
Okay.
I think it is 3:45, and I know that's a really hard one for Jay because he's on that one because of his work schedule. So I don't know, and I don't know if Ginger can move the time. So I don't know. Maybe that is a question for.
Can we discuss that now? One of the things that we discussed at the school board conference in November. People are going to get tired of hearing me reference that, but we learned so much. So was just the possibility that notes, if we can't make it to a committee, or if anyone can't make it to a committee, mm-hmm. that whoever chairs that committee would provide us with notes and information to give you the opportunity to provide feedback to whatever mm-hmm. it is that they're working on. So that might be an idea for that. Mm-hmm. And then we can all sort of stay active even when our schedules don't allow us to be there.
Mm-hmm. We can do that.
Anything else? We have a couple things coming up. Additionally, the negotiations committee will be meeting soon. The legislative liaisons, Mar and I, will be meeting soon. So we'll all have reports on that next month.
Possibly policy too then.
Yes, and that's further down in the mm-hmm. agenda to discuss policy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we can discuss that more then. So, moving right along, special recognition, also a new part to our agenda. Look at us just changing things up.
I know.
So for special recognition, it is a new section on the agenda. It's a goal of the board to involve the community in recognizing the special achievements of staff and students. And thank you, Dan, for already including that in your report, and hopefully the principals will do that as well. And so I can't think of a better way to embrace our new agenda item than to recognize a very special employee we have among us. I'm sure that she will be tickled to no longer have to utter the word agenda ever again. I hope people would join me in honoring this incredibly special woman who has been the glue of our district office for 26 years. I think I...
Sorry.
I think I calculated that she has coddled or supported board members through about 280 meetings, board meetings, 7 superintendents.
Oh my.
After seeing so many of us come and go, you still are encouraging and supportive, and you don't make fun of us when we mess up our duties as president. And Miss Sharon Anderson, congratulations on your retirement. We have cake, and I have another some other kind words to read, and there might be a few others, I'm not sure, who wanted to say something. This one is from Timmy, and she says, I would like to thank Sharon for all of her time and dedication to the board and students in the district over her time in the position. Sharon was instrumental, in big words, in getting the name of our training changed from Secretary's Workshop to Executive Administrator's Workshop. She is forever and always professional and kind. She opened her home to many of our staff during visits to Petersburg, which saved us money, over the years. Sharon Young, Joseph Reeves, and myself have all loved her home and felt like we were in Paris for the night. We all have great stories of our visits and each loved the yummy breakfast she insisted on offering each of us. Sharon, you leave big shoes to fill, and we know that Irene will do a fantastic job, but please know you will be missed. Be prepared for us to come knocking on your Texas bed and breakfast door someday. Much appreciation and love from Timmy. And let's see. Sharon, do we need to take a recess for a moment, or what's the procedure here? We need a few more minutes. Just a few more minutes. Okay. How do I do that? Do I just say we're having a recess? Okay. Recess.
Publicly, I'm not going to roast her. I want to say thank you publicly for keeping me sane the last year. You never know what the future holds, and I certainly didn't expect to end up where I ended up, but you have supported me every step of the way, and I really can't imagine what it would have been like without you there, so I really will miss you. I'm grateful to have Irene coming across the parking lot. I don't know if she knew that was coming in her future, too. It's been a crazy year, but you are truly a jewel.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. And we got your favorite cake.
That's beautiful.
The last 4 years I've been walking into the district office, and I just see Sharon. She's always so happy, and I'm going to miss our little chats. I just come in and visit Sharon, and we talk about everything, and cabinets, and paint, and
some school stuff.
And some school stuff. But I'm going to miss it. I've enjoyed that.
Yeah, y'all are a great board. I will really miss. It's like I said on the radio. It's like one of the best boards and the best superintendent. It really is.
Oh, we love you.
Well, we couldn't have done it without you.
Yes, you could.
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
For that.
We have a little something for you, and I feel like rather giving you a hug first. Yep. So.
Me too.
Sitting up here all formally.
Yeah. We're in recess.
Yeah, we're in recess. So
oh, we can move.
We're at recess.
I believe they'll be coming back. They have cake. You want to stop down there at the assembly chambers. Some emotional goodbye there for Sharon Anderson. 26 years of service to the Petersburg School District. If you did not hear that, they made many references there to the interview with Irene and Sharon that was on the radio. You can catch that on KFSK.org. School board is in session, but they're in a brief recess. They're having some cake. They're celebrating the retirement of Sharon Anderson after some nice testimonials there to Sharon's 26 years with the Petersburg School District. We wish her well. If you missed the interview, the outgoing interview that Sharon and both Irene Littleton also was in on the interview, as Irene moved from many years at the elementary school now to replace Sharon over at the district office. We'll be back to the school board meeting in a moment. They're taking a break and enjoying some cake. Just a reminder, the Borough Sanitation Department rolled out the blue carts this week. Recycling customers are to continue using the blue bags this week. This will be the final week for using the blue bags. Customers can begin placing items into your carts that are being distributed this week. And then your carts will be used for their first pickup next week. There is an informative recycling packet that comes with that blue can when you receive it. And it gives you some very brief information and very specific information about what items are recyclable in the program. Again, glass is not recyclable in the program, but you can still recycle glass. You can drop it off at the very south end of 2nd Street. That site is open 24/7. That's the Public Works Yard at the very south end of South 2nd Street. And also there's containers up at the Baylor facility as well. For more information, contact Public Works at 772-4430.
No one knows what it's like to be the bad man, to be the sad man. and blue eyes. No one knows what it's like to be hated, defeated, to telling only lies. But my dreams, they aren't as empty as my conscience seems to be. I have hours only lonely. My love is vengeance that's never free.
Distractions, can't hear those. buzzes and bells. Don't see lights flashing, plays by sense of smell. Always has a replay, never tilts at all.
That deaf, dumb, and blind kid sure plays mean pinball.
He's got crazy flipper fingers, never seen him fall.
That deaf, dumb, and blind kid sure plays mean pinball. Up my face in the mirror, I know I'm worth nothing without you. And like one and one don't make two, one and one make one. And I'm looking for that free ride to me. I'm looking for you.
6?
All members are still present, or the same anyway.
Okay. Thank you, Miss Sharon, for giving us the opportunity to have a wonderful evening.
Well, thank you.
Okay, upcoming dates and meeting announcements. The setting of the board agenda would be about the 1st. Erica, do you prefer to just exchange an email closer to that date? Is that your preference?
It kind of depends on who's available potentially around that time. I think that's on Monday. 3:30 or 4.
And I'm pretty available. If is anyone else interested?
I can do it unless Jay wants to do it. We can only do Fridays.
If you want
to
do it after 5 or Fridays.
So we can email with that too. It's
okay.
Either way.
So let's say tentatively Megan and Cheryl.
Okay.
And Campus Connection, the 9th.
Is Sarah going to be back? We should just give it to her because she's been gone.
Yes. She. Yes, let's do Sarah and do you want to do it, Mara? We don't have
will
to.
Will be just be, will
oh,
be
we'll
just
be back
coming back
on Monday.
So we'll be back the following day.
Yeah.
Well, I volunteer. Nope. Sorry.
Oh, you volunteered. Okay, I can do it. I'm available during that time. Okay. And then February 9th is a regular board meeting night. February 10th, middle school, high school conferences, 4 to 8 p.m. The 11th, also 4 to 8 p.m. for conferences. February 12th, middle school, high school only, no school. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the 15th is President's Day, so no school district-wide. Okay. Old business, we have none. New business. Property insurance program. Susan Erickson is here to talk with us from Petersburg Wrangell Insurance.
Good evening. Nice to be here. And first of all, thanks for all that each of you do for the district and preparing our kids for a brighter future and making it a great place to work for the staff and the teachers. It's not an easy job, but we appreciate all of you guys volunteering and the work you do. Well, I'm here for just a brief presentation. If you want it long, I'm happy to talk for a long time, too, so it's up to you guys after my prepared presentation. But I'll go to the bottom line first in terms of insurance, and I'm talking about property and casualty. I'm not talking about health insurance. Paula Scott, she's going to be here on the 25th, and that'll be health insurance. But tonight, property casualty. The bottom line is we had a great year in terms of premiums. It was up $1,400 overall from the year before, which on that budget is like less than 1%. So it was really good. Again, we stayed with Alaska Public Entities. They've been a great carrier for us for many years now, and we just signed a 3-year commitment to stay with them for another 3 years. They're doing a great job for us, providing good programs, sponsoring various things. They've got the $10,000 grant. I'll throw that out again for loss control and playgrounds that I know Dan looks into that all the time. in terms of a forecast for the coming year, I would tell Karen at this point it's early, but the budget's starting to roll. To keep things for the property and liability pretty much flat, except for the work comp, that's always unpredictable with medical costs, so factor in a little bit higher for that line of coverage. This year, in terms of claims, in the last 12 months, we had some workers' comp things, and you know, those, some of them take a while, and some of them are handled quickly, depending on what it is. We also had the problem with the boiler at the aquatic center, which is part of the school campus, and the funding, if everybody recalls how that worked. And I thought, hey, I think there might be coverage under the policy, which was the school's policy. And there was coverage under the school policy, and the city would have paid the deductible, but it worked out really great. It was one of those weird things where it got fried, and insurance was there to contribute toward it, so that was all good. And it wasn't as bad overall as what we thought, or Donnie thought initially going into that loss. So those are really the only claims this year. The issues that came up in the last 12 months, the first thing, one that was really fun for me because I like insurance and loss control and all that kind of stuff, and that was we had some new teachers in the high school in new positions that they hadn't been in before. And when APEI was here the last time for their walkthrough, which was, oh my gosh, 4 years ago maybe, or maybe it was 5 years ago, I can't recall.
I'm
going to
say three.
Three? Okay, three. We'd gone through the whole facility, so I was able to provide to those new teachers in their new rooms, here's the things that the insurance company looks at in terms of safety for your facility when they went through 3 years ago, just so you keep an eye on these. And the other teachers, same thing. These are the things that they're, when they came through your room, there are hazards. You know, you can't have embalming fluid, you know, all that kind of stuff, just on shelves that students can grab. So anyway, it was kind of fun. I enjoyed being able to share that information. That's what I enjoy. The other big issue was our new minibus. Issue meaning there were points of discussion in terms of now we've got a bigger vehicle than we've ever had before. How does the insurance change for that? How does it not change? But it gave us the opportunity to really talk about the school district vehicles and what we do with them and who we let use them and how does that affect the insurance. And it began this more broad conversation about liability for the district, and maybe sometime it'll be an opportunity to meet, like, with staff, too. You know, Dan's on, most people, administration is on board and understands how things work, but I got a feeling that there's going to be Susie Driver, who's using her own car to pick the kids up, and I get in a car accident, and I think, well, school's going to pay for it, right? Well, they're not. I mean, I don't even want to get into that conversation now about where our liabilities start and stop, but if we ever want to have a discussion with the entire, at like a staff meeting, happy to do that too. It also brought up a conversation regarding boats, and the school doesn't own any boats, but we put our kids on boats many times during the year, and where does our liability start and stop on boats? And I've talked a little bit about with Rick about that, and also various superintendents. I don't know if Erica and I have specifically had it, but the threshold is 26 feet, and once we go over 26 feet, we're uninsured, so we have to pay a little bit more attention to transporting the kids by boats. I mean, if it's by Breakaway or West Marine Highway or our charter people, there's no problem there. We probably should get proof of insurance. But when we want to have the up the river or a middle school activity day or aquaculture class, and I say, oh, we'll use the Priest Point, you know, or, yeah, we just need to make sure that our kids are protected. There's the bottom line. Cheryl, if that policy committee, you're involved with that, I'm happy to look at any of that stuff, what we have listed for language, okay, and just give you my two cents, or, you know, if it's even worth that much about that type of how we should phrase some things like that. I know back to vehicles for a second, Rick had talked about, you know, when people are using their own cars for school, how does that work? And, you know, we just want to make sure everybody's on the same page so everybody understands, you know, what's going on in terms of the insurance there. And then the other thing, too, was that came up a couple different times during the years, and it comes up like every 3 or 4 years, is about non-school-sponsored activities, which would be just an activity, because it's like the last year there wasn't the homecoming, but maybe there was going to be this dance, but it wasn't a school function, and where does the school liability start and stop on that? And I had a couple different conversations various times during the year with people about, yeah, but the bottom line is, unless that is a school-sponsored function, the school's insurance doesn't step in there at all, just so everybody knows. Even though I might take the entire swim team to swim camp, that is not a school function unless it came, you know, from the district. So just knowing where our liabilities start and stop. So anyway, those were really the only issues that came up, although there were big ones that needed to be discussed and hadn't surfaced or percolated up in quite a while. And other than that, you know, that's really about all I have for tonight. I think it's going to be flat moving forward, other than workers' comp. We're with a really great program, and I'm a phone call away if anybody has some question. I'm happy to discuss it with you guys. If I live in that world, so I see this stuff all the time. I would also publicly like to say thank you to Sharon. It's been a pleasure working with you through the years. And I'll echo what Cheryl said, is anytime you have to work with Sharon, she's always happy, enthusiastic, eager to help you, very professional in her job. And thank you for your many years. I'll definitely miss you while you're gone.
Thank you, but I loved being able to pick up the phone and call you, too. You're awesome.
Thank you, Sharon. Any questions?
I do want to thank Sue as well. She really is available and for any questions. And a lot of these, I've been involved with a lot of these discussions, and they've been good, and we've had things that have come out of them, you know, taking copies of people's driver's licenses, having people sign, so, you know, not because we don't trust people, but just because, you know, we should have a little more formalized system.
Right, and that reminds me of one last thing, back to vehicles. Mm-hmm. Especially financially, as we try and minimize our expenses, and we were all kids once, right? Okay, so we need to rent a car, and then, like, how many kids got into the Volkswagen or whatever? When it's a school function, we need seatbelt to student ratio. And I'm guilty of it. You know, it's like, just pile in one extra kid. Well, if we get in a car accident and there wasn't a seatbelt available for that kid, we're just write a check. You know, it's that's a tough one to enforce. It's easier when we're on land here. But when we're in Juneau and it's a quick trip to Walmart, or if it's whatever it is, we just really need to be vigilant. It's all about the safety of the kids. So
thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for the information.
You bet.
Okay, policy committee structure. It has been suggested to add more members to the policy committee. Cheryl, can you talk to us more about that?
Well, I don't have a microphone. when we were at the AASB conference, again, we learned a lot, and it's really hard to bring everything at once because you get bombarded, because we're bringing it as we can. So we talked to several different school districts, and they have huge policy committees where some show up and some don't. They have city councils, they have people of the community, they have teachers. I mean, they have up to 10 or more people on their policy committees. I don't know if we want to go that big, but we'd like to... It's usually only three of us, two board members and a superintendent, except this last fall when we made a new policy, we incorporated some school members, staff, to do some stuff. So we would actually like to make a bigger policy committee.
So we're going to be polling if anybody is interested in joining our policy committee to give our new
administrative assistant
executive Irene a call at the district office so we can get started, or you can call myself or Megan, but probably Irene would be great, so we can get one started. I think that's all. Didn't you have something?
I was just going to add that, Cheryl and I are on the policy committee, so we could answer people's questions, and, hopefully we get a few more people, and I think we'll go searching, try to get some people involved, but people who are interested in talking about a variety of policies would be good, because there are just a big range of things that might come up during the year, and we probably need to work out some details of if somebody's on the policy committee, how long does that last? I'm thinking probably October at the time that we restructure, but that could be variable. We definitely would like to see people who could commit to a little bit of time, so they're not just there for a two-month period while one policy is passed and then move along, but I think it'll be important to get feedback from a variety of people.
And we only meet once a month normally, and we don't like make new policies every month.
No.
We basically just update old policies. It could be wording, it could be nothing. So it's only if we have new policies that would be helpful to have other people or even more people input on old policies for changing. So,
That's it. Thank you very much. Should we talk about scheduling a policy committee meeting? Or should we do that through email? I mean, we want to try to get some people involved, and then we'll maybe organize that through email.
I think so.
Okay.
Or maybe we should set one, and then we'll have a plan already, and then people will know they're having a policy meeting. Maybe I should sign up.
This might be a good chance for you to reach a broad audience.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea at all. Do you have?
It depends on if we want to do something this month or next month.
We could do something. I'm just wide open. Don't have anything to do. Maybe the last week of the month, would that give maybe people the most amount of time to think about it? And then also for the staff who usually come, give you more time?
Should we say Wednesday the 27th? Do you have anything going on?
January?
Yeah.
I don't know if we necessarily have to be fine. I think that's fine.
What time? That's a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
6 a.m.? All right. 6 a.m. on the 27th.
Or lunch hour, if people want to be able to escape during lunch hour, or maybe 6 p.m.
I can do stuff during lunch. It's fine. I can do things during lunch. I can do things.
Oh. Do you want to try that? If we had a teacher or a principal,
we can always change it.
Does lunch hour, is that just the most horrible time of day if you were to come to a meeting?
Probably won't work for teachers, but it's probably fine for administrators, but it doesn't work.
Well, we at least want one teacher.
You have Rotary on the 27th?
She has Rotary on Wednesdays at noon, and we usually have admin team meeting up until that point.
So maybe later in the day that day?
Mm-hmm.
After school is easier for teachers. We want staff there.
Four? Is that okay? We'll try it.
And if
it doesn't work, we can change it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
That sounds good.
It's as long as we have a date and a time.
Okay. Okay. Where are we here? Staff evaluation process on the board master calendar in January is review staff evaluation process. Erica Klute Painter will update the district's continued activities to align with the new state requirements on staff evaluation.
Okay, so we've actually had quite a bit of discussion about this throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
Different this year than most, just because of the changes from the state level with the new evaluation system, and I know Terry referred to it a little bit too. and we're all busy working with it. Teachers are working hard. It's new. There's an online component to it. It does take quite a bit of time. We're all finding that. We are all working through it. It's a little bit overwhelming looking at all the new indicators and standards and that sort of thing, but people are taking it with a good attitude as usual and trying to look at it as a tool for improving instruction. So we're making a lot of progress and we're just continuing to not be overwhelmed with it. That's all of us, teachers and the evaluators that are doing the work, and actually Terry and I are both doing the elementary staff, so I think that's good too for all of us to be doing it and seeing what really works and doesn't work, and then we'll continue to modify it as we need to. And then I don't know where it's all going because of the new reauthorization of No Child Left Behind and the shift back to the states with the student accountability piece, and you know they're wanting to tie a certain amount of testing results to teacher evaluation. I don't know where that whole thing's going to end up because it's shifted back to the state. So I think the spring's going to be really interesting with all of that. So we're going to let that go to the wayside for right now and focus on the instructional component. And I think that's probably about it for that right now.
Something that we should be paying attention to hear information about in Juneau? Will they be talking about that at the
they might.
During the legislative session?
Yep, they might, because okay. We don't really know where we are right now, even with, I mean, there's some potential legislation about putting a pause on the AMP testing. There's, I think, some potential legislation, Joe was mentioning that this afternoon, to do away with it.
Mm-hmm.
The federal government does still require us to do normed assessment for third through eighth grade and then a year in high school. There's a lot to be worked out. So we're just moving forward at this point with the assumption that we'll still have testing in April. And, So that's where that is. Everybody's working hard.
Thank you. Okay, personal hire. I will make a motion to approve the employment of Ashley Kawashima, part-time instructional assistant.
I'll second. Sorry.
Okay. Miss Irene, could you please call the roll?
Cheryl Pyle?
Yes.
Megan Litster?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Mara Lutomsky?
Yes.
All right, motion carries 4-0 for the employment of Ashley. Welcome. Okay, school calendar. Superintendent Clute Painter to talk about next year's calendar.
Okay, so we discussed this a little bit today during the campus connection, and this is the month that the board normally starts looking at calendars for the following year. And we wanted to have a little more discussion publicly than we normally do because we're potentially looking at doing something different with it next year. Due to the increasing mandates from the state for all different kinds of trainings for staff, we are finding that our in-service time is being completely eaten up by those mandated trainings. So, for example, in August, we had 3 in-service days, and 2.5 days of that time was taken over by state-mandated trainings. So it doesn't leave any other time for working on district curriculum or looking at individual student needs, doing grade-level planning for district and school initiatives. There just really isn't time. And interestingly enough, when we went up last spring to do legislative lobbying, they kept saying, well, we don't have money to offer you, but what can we do to help? And so we all kept saying, please take some of the things off of our plate.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, yep, that's what we'll do. And that's not only did they not take things off the plate, they have added. And all of the things are great. Suicide prevention training, sexual assault training, I mean, all of it. It's all important. Every single bit of it is important, but we are being overwhelmed. We don't talk about reading. We talk about bloodborne pathogens and everything else, you know. So anyway, I'm not trying to sound negative about it. It's all really important. We're running out of time. So that caused more discussion about our early release Fridays, which in the high school is fairly short amount of time. It's a 2:20 release rather than a 3. Fridays in the elementary school are 1:45 as opposed to 2:45, and so the theory behind that being that we do some work on those afternoons to work on some of these kind of mandated things and also grade level planning and other work that we need to do. It's often filled with interruptions. It isn't always as productive probably as it could be, so we are proposing, and we would like feedback from people in the community and parents and that sort of thing, about trying something different next year and potentially doing away with the early releases and instead having like a day a month that's set aside for focused professional development. So we currently have a few of those days throughout the school year already. We would propose adding a few, so it's like trading time. Mm-hmm. Trading some of the time on the Fridays, adding it together and putting it on, you know, like a day a month instead. Yeah, I guess that's probably some of the reasoning behind it. We would like to have some feedback because we know, especially in the elementary school, that's probably the biggest area. You know, there's things to consider for childcare. It's a change in schedule. There's some busing concerns, you know, that sort of thing. So we want to be talking about it now and not August mm-hmm. or something, you know, trying to make a big change. We want to be planning for it now. So we would work with childcare centers, and we would talk with, you know, dance class and Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts and all the different activities that go on in our community, because that's a big part. We all work together to communicate about those things. So anyway, it's early. I think we have time to think about it and talk about it. So that's some of the thinking.
Yeah, thank you. We should start talking with folks around town.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I have a question.
Okay.
I brought it up earlier with Erica, and I just, because I was like, well, why can't we just cut out earlier on Fridays, like 12? And so I'm sure the other people are thinking the same thing. And she's like, well, there's this and this, and it really affects the high school more than anything. So
I thought
I'd have her explain why we can't cut out at noon.
Right. So there's some reasons for that have to do with minimum day requirements. At this, you know, there's requirements for how much time constitutes a minimum day, and it's 5 hours from grades 4 and up. Exclusive of lunch and, you know, breaks, and then it's 4.5 hours for K through 2. So you have to reach a minimum day to count for that, so noon isn't the minimum day, so that's part of that. And then the other thing that ends up happening, sometimes if you did it noon, then every Friday, or maybe it's every other Friday or something, I don't know how that might work, then you end up with the same classes being the ones that are not meeting. So if you have a class, if you're the teacher of a class, I could let Rick talk to it too, but if you're teaching a class, sixth period,
every
other Friday you don't have that class, you know, so
we'll come up with an alternative schedule and then everybody shifts and then you're shifting aides and lunch times and it's pretty complicated.
Yeah, it just, you know, so no, it was a good question and I think it was worth talking about it here too, just to say it.
Is there a certain minimum number of days they have to be in class too?
There are.
Does that affect that?
Yes, and so the days actually work out, but you can only have a certain number of in-service days within a calendar. So I will have to request from the state and through the commissioner's office to, how do I want to say it, justify and explain where the minutes went. So I had a conversation with him actually last spring in Juneau about this, and I said, you know, what would that look like? Is it even possible? And he said, well, if you could show me that you could calculate, you know, the amount of time in class that it would be comparable. So if you could move that, you know, on paper, show how you're leaving that time from those Fridays to combine for those additional days in the calendar. And they did it in Sitka. It was actually the superintendent in Sitka and I were talking with the commissioner last spring about it, and she actually went ahead and wrote up a proposal and did it last spring in Sitka, and it was approved. So I think we can get it approved if we can show.
So basically the 4 Fridays,
that the time that they're having off right now comes up to be...
It's the same time. Yes, you can justify the same amount of minutes of instruction. And that's what he is allowing people to do. You can make that case. And I actually called the state probably 5 years ago to ask about that, because it was very strict about the 100. You have to have 170 days, and you can't... you only have a certain number of in-service. And they said, nope, that's just what it is. But I think, again, now in this climate, what are the things that they can offer us when we're being buried with financial crisis and everything else? I think they're willing to try to be a little bit more flexible. And as long as we're not losing instructional time, then I think that's the key.
Does it, Petersburg, our instructional time is not minimum? We go more than
we go
the
more.
State requires.
Yeah, we are already more than the state requires in at K-12. Sorry, K isn't really even part, but 1 through 12, we're already substantially above the amount. So
making some adjustments, we have a little bit of wiggle room. Okay.
And they seem to be willing to work with districts if you can make your case that way. So then we just need to know what people's thoughts are about it, you know, community-wise, too. Could be an opportunity for people to maybe make appointments on those days, you know, if they know ahead of time, if there's some, you know, maybe some travel or, you know, that sort of thing, if it's all penciled out. So,
any other questions? Yeah. All right, folks, let us know what you think. All right, board goals review. On the board master calendar in January is a board goal setting. Identify needs, establish, and prioritize goals. Two board members suggested moving this item to June. Attached is the board self-assessment and planning document created with Timmy Tolis in October for the board's review. Essentially, we're supposed to review in January, and we're thinking, would it be more appropriate to look at goals maybe at the end of the school year, thinking about goals for the next school year, and at the end of the school year, maybe a more natural time to assess how we did during the school year so that we can look at the following year? Am I remembering all that correctly?
There's no state requirement for when a board needs to look at their goals. So it's just been the way that it's been.
Yeah, and I think it's extremely important that we have it on the calendar and that we, whatever it is, that we adhere to it, because it allows us to be accountable, it allows us to constantly improve, and just measure, you know, what we've been doing productivity-wise. So it's important, but January seems like a bit of an odd time. What do you guys think?
I think June sounds fine.
Yeah. I think it's nice. You're coming right up at the end of school. You can talk to all the administrators about what they saw over the course of the year, what went well and what didn't.
I think that it would be kind of, well, it definitely would be a work session sort of thing where we sit down and evaluate and then set new goals. Mm-hmm. And as a reminder for board members, we did have some focused areas of improvement, which it's attached to this, but it's what we discussed in October. And a few of us had some homework from that. And so... the first one was the board holding a work session focused on superintendent evaluation process. So we haven't had a work session to talk about process, but I think that was due in December. However, AASB just came out with the new tool yesterday. So I think, you know, it would make more sense if we did that maybe in February or March, so that we have time to look at that tool and then talk about how that might work here. We could even actually push it back later, since we do superintendent eval in January. My job was to figure out how to develop annual goals that will talk about how the superintendent is evaluated, and that's
Something I'm continuing to work on. My due date was January 30th. Sarah had meetings will have a student and or staff recognition or presentation. That was her homework. And we've been doing that. I'm really pleased with you helping facilitate that, Erica. And it's great to start meetings with kids because that's why we're all here. And then Cheryl talked to us about the policy committee, and that idea of the policy committee could apply to some other committees as well. So something else to think about. So I think those were the main things to talk about regarding our goals, and we'll continue to discuss those and put it on the calendar for June.
Sounds good.
Okay. Legislative fly-in. Mara, you want to talk about that?
Sure. So the legislative fly-in is at the beginning of February, and Meg and I will be going. The Alaska School Board will hold a conference to kind of give us some ideas about the whole legislative process and who we should be talking about, and what could be some ideas that we present to them. And then they will also afford us opportunities to meet with our legislators. So Meg and I will be setting appointments and meeting with them and taking our priorities to them, ask them to pass the things that we want to pass, and stand up for education, how we want, how, you know, our school district would like that to look in the state. So.
And it's an opportunity for us to kind of get educated, you know, to hear firsthand more information about what's going on with the budget and in the legislative session, and we'll come back and share that with people, and I think it's going to be an important year for everyone to listen and be creative and give us ideas and give your legislators ideas, and yeah, thank you. Okay, additional?
I'm sorry, I was just going to say too that
I don't know if we want just to discuss it now or not, but the superintendent fly-in is the 20th to the 23rd of February.
Oh.
I don't know, I mean, I'm assuming that you don't want me to go with you to you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I know last year you kind of came back, or maybe you and Sarah came back and said, well, there were lots of superintendents there with their members. But
There were superintendents there. I don't know if those same superintendents went back for the next one.
I don't know. I don't. Anyway.
Would you like to go?
I don't necessarily need to go to the legislature twice.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely didn't get the sense that, you know,
I mean,
here
like
we are.
Right. Do
here we are, and we didn't.
Right.
We
you know
didn't
what I mean?
Cover
like
everything.
You guys go in February early. We go, you know, go back again. I think that's the thinking behind it.
Yeah, get more information.
Know.
We kind of have a better idea of the direction, what we are wanting to advocate for.
I mean, it was helpful for me when you guys had gone and you came back with information.
Yeah.
That was very...
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but I think a lot of times the superintendents have to go with their board members because they have to keep them on task.
Oh.
No. I don't need to babysit. You might need to babysit me.
Because they have to make sure they show up.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry. That's just the stories I've heard from other, you know, like when I go to conferences.
I'm sure you have the inside track, too.
No, but
I'm not worried about that, by the way.
And y'all are on another level.
If you're compelled to go, I think it would be great, but I don't think that, I also don't feel like we're at a, like, we can't meet all of our goals without you there.
Right. Okay, so I just want to throw that out there, though, that
okay.
It is a couple weeks after again, and I think it's good to have go, and then and then I go. I mean, I think it's good.
Yeah.
It spreads out.
And Sharon, or Irene, is there another one in March also? Is there another fly-in session in March?
There is. Where do we put that? They do have another one that's later in the session. There's
So we can probably play that by ear a little bit.
Yeah.
Too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
See where things
anyway,
are
just
at, what it looks
that.
Like. Yeah. Okay. Thank
okay.
you very
mm-hmm.
much.
Yep.
Additional comments from board members?
I just hearing her talk about the insurance man, he's a little nervous about the transportation, you know, who should be driving what, and when we're covered driving, you know, like I've been on some trips with the kids, and it is sometimes you got 20 kids show up all on fit in one little car, and you're, you know, it's a private car, and there's half private, half not, but I just want to like, see what our policy is as far as who gets to drive what, and what cars kids can ride in, you know, whether Banana Point, or when we're on trips and stuff like that, because that could be a huge lawsuit if we're
mm-hmm.
doing something we're not covered for.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like to see what our policy is, and then if we need to adjust that or whatnot, just to make sure we're covered.
Do you want me to address that at all right now?
Okay.
Just in a
sure.
generic way,
mm-hmm.
Jeff?
Sure. Yeah. I'm just.
Yeah.
I'm happy that.
Just makes me nervous.
It gets into owned vehicles and non-owned vehicles, and we're not going to talk about owned. We got that one down.
Okay.
Except for when we crammed too many people in it, we really shouldn't.
And you're owned by the school district?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay.
Versus non-owned, which is anybody else who uses their car to drive kids around, pick up supplies, whatever it is.
Right.
We, the district, have coverage for accidents caused by non-owned vehicles.
Okay.
Bear with me here. But if there's a problem, the non-owned vehicle policy goes first. For example, Susie is taking her own car to the end of the road with the swim team. I get in a car, and they're going to get in go compete. I get in a car accident out there. The district has nothing to do with it. Susie's insurance is supposedly adequate enough, we hope, to cover everybody in the car. It is or it isn't. If it isn't, then Britton's mom is going to sue Susie for not having enough, and because she was there on behalf of the district, get the district's non-owned insurance involved.
Okay.
Kind of complicated, but you know what I mean? The district has coverage for non-owned vehicles, but who's ever driving that car needs to have car insurance.
Mm-hmm. And it's theirs first.
It's theirs first, and none of us know. I might think it's okay to have minimum state limits, but you might think you need $1 million worth. You know, where's the threshold? The district is protected, but the people in for non-owned mistakes. But the people driving their own cars need to have insurance. And we don't enforce that.
We don't enforce that, and it sounds like maybe the driver might be unaware also. So
that,
they might have no idea that
that's
going to
exactly
go against
it.
Their own insurance. And, hey, I was doing this for the school. And
I think
awareness was good, too.
I agree, Mara. I think the majority of people out there, just Susie Clerk working for Petersburg Insurance even. I'm driving my car to pick up Petersburg Insurance's mail, going to the post office, I get in a car accident. I think, oh, well, my employer will fix my car and take care of the accident. Oh, your employer had nothing to do with it. You are responsible for the safe operation of your vehicle. You fix your own car, whatever. But if somebody says, oh, well, she was there just on district or work, I'll involve them because they have non-owned accident stuff. Make sense? It's a complicated thing, and I agree. A lot of people don't understand that. The district, when we own cars, no problem. We loan those to somebody, we loan our insurance. When I go to regionals to support my kid, and then I'm driving the other students around, I'm on the hook, but still the students' parents would get the district involved through their non-owned responsibility. That's it in a nutshell.
I'll look it up later, but that we have a policy or an AR or something about it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we do, about who can drive.
Can address this too, specifically
okay.
activities. And I know we've done work on it recently because of some of these conversations about...
Okay. And we can talk about it at
mm-hmm.
the policy meeting, but...
No, it's good
yeah.
questions.
It's good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Lots of stuff.
No, we've got on the road rules, meaning traveling. Mm-hmm. Not getting to anyone else's car, and if you're going to go with family members, you have to have permission releasing mm-hmm. us from being responsible, and it's only with parents. You can only ride with parents and getting the okay. Travel waivers, we have travel waivers that they need to sign if they deviate from the school's travel. Mm-hmm. They have to sign a travel waiver and turn that in prior to departing, because some teams will travel on a Wednesday. Parents can option their kids out of traveling with the team and fly them and get them to another state, get them to where the team is on a different day. And in order for that to happen, they have to sign the travel waiver.
Okay.
With Mr. Dormer's signature, my signature, coach's signature, parent's signature. So we've got all those pieces in play. Mm-hmm. That's why we get school employees to drive at 4 in the morning whenever they can. If they want to hang out at 4 in the morning with us.
Mm-hmm.
Super fun.
If I get strapped for a class, like aquaculture kids with the fish hatchery, and let's say we've got the Vantage holds 10 plus a teacher, we have two extras, they could drive their own individual cars if we had parent permissions, okay, to drive there and back. They can never ride in a car with each other. If there were any extreme circumstances they had to, there's a lot of paperwork and things and lots of signatures for them to happen. So almost all the time, we just drive in a school vehicle with the teacher driver.
Yeah, and if I can just wrap it by saying that the district in 99.99% were okay for owned and non-owned. Where the problem is going to come up is that the person who gets in the car accident using their own car or the rental car, Alamo in Anchorage, they have no idea where their responsibility starts and stops. The district were okay, but that person mm-hmm. is going to be upset and cause some problems. So,
yeah.
Happy to have a discussion at any time. Yeah. It's a very difficult concept to really see the whole thing anytime.
Yeah.
I can talk.
Thank you, Susan.
Thanks, Susan.
Thank you. Maybe to go on our policy meeting agenda one of these days, mm-hmm. because I have more questions, but I think I'll save it for policy committee. Okay, where are we? Let me 14. Catch up. Future agenda items. Let's see. I had the policy committee and the board policy 5127 that was requested we look at by Mrs. Tate. Should that go on a future agenda, or what would be the proper procedure? We're going to discuss it in a policy committee.
I think we just are discussing it in policy committee.
Okay.
And then if we've adopt anything, change anything, we have to have.
Then we would. Then it would come back to. Okay, mm-hmm. So we don't need to put that on the agenda. Yeah. Okay.
I would like mm-hmm. to add discussion about our board work sessions.
Thank you. That would be.
And setting a standard for mm-hmm. work sessions.
Yes, I think that was actually one of our homeworks. So that would be great. Like a work session schedule.
I missed that. Sorry.
Work session schedule. Okay. And anything else? Future agenda items? Other new business? Okay. I will make a motion to recess to executive session for subjects that tend to prejudice the reputation and character of any person, provided the person may request a public discussion, more specifically superintendent evaluation.
Do you request a public discussion?
I need a
sure.
second.
I don't know.
Second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. So
what's this live broadcast of the Petersburg School Board meeting is brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, helping clients find out how to protect any valuable asset, from stamp or teacup collections to houses and boats of all sizes, and everything in between. Plenty of information from the local agents is available. Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, 772-3858.